can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. In the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome this afternoon to Monday's edition of the Watchmen for Jesus program on 24 February 2014. Welcome. Good to hear y'all. Good to see y'all. And see everybody's here. I'm going to talk about a real touchy subject today. Real touchy. Called Romans 13. A couple aspects to it that I want to bring out due to some comments and quotes made by some folks of high authority, you want to call it that, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think there is any authority concerning Romans 13 or even the government, either on this side of the big pond, the Atlantic Ocean, or the other side of the big pond, on the side of the Pacific Ocean, on the other side. Man, they don't have a clue what they're doing. They really don't. They have no idea. None. They really don't. That can be said without skipping a beat. And these are people in high positions, from premiers to presidents to generals. You know, the way some of these generals out here that's gotten out retired, well, actually, those that's actually active duty. I'm wondering if nowadays that they're giving out stars for generals in Cracker Jack boxes. Or they're just paying them off. I don't know. Maybe it's a blood oath they take. It's nice of Malta, nice of Columbus, Freemasons or whatever. That would have something to do with it, probably. Being all of them are traitors, pretty much, of getting that point. Or chicken, because they won't lose their career, so they'd be quiet. Same thing police officers nowadays. If they have, the blue code, and they see abuse is going on, they just be quiet. That's all they do. They just be quiet. Don't say a word. It's got to eat on them at night. They got to worry about why they didn't say something when someone's getting abused by one of the felons, that's being a police officer, or a Freemason cop, or whatever. So they got to be quiet. They want to disturb the blue code. You know, they get fired if they do. Same with teachers. I mean, exactly. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So everybody just quiet, you know. Don't want to say nothing. Well, I'll lose my job. So I'll just deal with it. Go to church, make myself feel better, do some good deeds, you know. I'll feel better about myself tomorrow. And I won't have to remember. And then forget about it. I'll just conveniently forget about what I saw or what I'm doing. So it doesn't bother my conscience any, you know. Yeah, it just eats on me bad. So I'll listen to Mozart, Beethoven, and not worry about it anymore. And well, at least I got my job. I'm thankful for that. But I just got to be quiet. I don't want to upset nobody, you know. So you got a whole bunch of them there maybe feeling that way. And they're all just quiet. Don't know who to talk to. They don't know who's going to tell on them. They don't know who's under a blood oath of an Eastern Star, Freemason, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus. That's what's going on today. Everybody's quiet, or everybody's under a blood oath and doing Satan's will because they're under a blood oath not to tell any secrets. That's what's happening really today. You see, everybody just walks. Don't want to lose my job. Well, I understand that. I've lost three because, two of them because I, of high position actually at government and contracting. One because I wouldn't become a Freemason. That's a fact too, by the way. I'm not going to go in detail. It's not about me. But the company I worked for was the owner was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. And I was a manager, security manager for BP oil refinery contract in Indiana. I would not become a Freemason. I couldn't. Is that, you know, ask three times. Don't, they're liars when they say they don't ask you. Oh, they do. Oh, they absolutely. That's a fact. I know. And then I lost another job because I wouldn't become a Freemason. I wasn't thoroughly aware of that at the time till after I got out. I just knew as a Christian I couldn't be a Freemason. And they lie to you when they tell you that we worship God and all that. That's a lie to pull in the first 3 degrees. They're lying to you. Oh, they're lying to you big time. They do worship Lucifer. That's an absolute fact. And when you say, well, that's not what my Grand Inspector General said or my Master Mason said. Well, I got here to tell you. They're lying to you. And the ones that Master Masons, they're lying to, they are deceived or lying. If they know what they're talking about, they're lying to you. Or they're deceived themselves. That's a fact now. Because we know, those of us that know, you know, we know you take that blood oath to lie. So you taking that blood oath ought to be some kind of indicator that something's wrong already. But no, no. You do it anyway because the prestige, the lie that they say you're making better men and all this and all that, that's just to pull you in hook, line, and sinker. Then they got you the fourth degree on. They give you little secrets every degree to keep you pulled in, every degree. Well, we know we told you this in the third degree, but here, because you're a fifth degree, sixth degree, seventh, eighth, whatever, this what it really means. But don't tell nobody below you. It's like a little boys club, except they're dangerous. These people are dangerous. They'll ruin your life because they control. That's where they have Freemasons in contracting or law enforcement or schools or title positions, income tax office, a different place where they can. You know, can you do a favor? We need you to do a favor for a fellow brother here. I need to have information on this. And they'll do it because they're bound by the blood oath to do it, no matter what they feel. They can't say no because they've taken a blood oath in the name of God, even, to lie. So they're caught between a rock and a hard place. They go against a Mason. They see that they're going against God by going against a swear. And then they know lying is against God anyway. So they're like, oh, isn't that right there? That's right. That's correct. They got you. But you know you can get out of it. All you got to do is renounce. Ask God for forgiveness. Tell him that, taking that blood oath. And you're out and you're not bound to it anymore. You're bound to God. You're not bound to some blood oath you took by sinning, because he'll forgive that sin. He won't forgive your lie, though, until you ask him to. When you go against his word because of some blood oath you took for some organization, oh, they're going to fire you up. But you can get out of it. You're not bound. See, you're all, you know, everybody that in the secret societies, you're, I want to fight for freedom and all that stuff. And yet you put yourself in bondage. Now, that don't make sense to me. Because you are in bondage. Under a blood oath, you're in bondage. You're no longer a free man. You're a slave to the Freemasons. So why do you even bother to worry about having a freedom country and all that stuff? Why do you even bother with that? When you put yourself under slavery of a blood oath. Huh? I don't know. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And let's get moving. Oh, by the way, if I have new listeners, my name is Thomas Gamble, and I am the host of this show, this program. At night, it's Bible study. In the daytime, it's on Mondays especially. A friend of mine, a close friend of mine, said, well, Tom, today's your Satan day. And I said, say what? It's Satan day? And my friend said, yes. Because Mondays, you normally talk about the New World Order on Mondays, laying the groundwork for the rest of the week. In the daytime, I talk about the New World Order, the geopolitical situation, and what really is going on in the background. I said, oh, yeah, well, that's how Satan works, though. It's supernatural what's going on today. It is totally supernatural. Every bit of it. And America, man, you got to wake up, man. You got to wake up. All these generals and all these people in high position are nothing, and absolutely nothing. They're deceived. They're goners. They are gone, man. All you can do is pray for them. They've damned their families. They've damned their country. Because they've taken a blood oath against the country. Look up right now. You can do it while I'm talking. And do it. Your fingers can move from your lap or your desk, whatever, and it can go crawly up like a little, you know, like a spider. And get on the board there and type out Knights of Malta oath. Knights of Columbus oath. And read it. And it closely matches the Jesuit oath. They're horrific. Absolutely horrific. They're unbelievable. And these people like General Boykin and Rick Joyner, these are high-level positions in the United States, evangelists and general, all this, that, and the other, controlling a lot of people. A lot of people depend on this because they have a four-star. So what? Cracker Jack box. I mean, you know, come on. Really? No longer are they valid. Once they start lying and going against the Word of God, they're no longer valid. They're just people, individuals that are lost. That's all they are. No position whatsoever. Just pray for them. Move on. Because this is exactly what's happening. Now, I'm going to talk about that some today now. So, and some people may not like what I'm going to say, but heck, just stand in line. That's been the case, but I'm not backing down, man. It ain't going to happen. The ones that know me already know that the only way I'm going to back down is to kill me. Or unplug my electricity, and then when I get it back on again, I'm going to go back at it. Take down my computer, I'm going to Blog Talk Radio. You know, I'll buy a cheap computer if I have to with a headset of headphones and whatever. I'll do whatever I have to do, you know. And I'll keep going. I keep going. I keep going. I keep going. I keep going. Till I can't do it no more. You know, a bunch of liars. I'm going to expose every doggone one that I can. Every chance I get. You know, I ain't quitting. You know, if I get up a higher position, I'd do it. But I, you know, I'm just a little old fella here in Mount Airy, North Carolina, but I've been a lot of experience. I've been a lot of places. You know, and I know what the heck I'm talking about. And I don't bow down to these people. Of course, it's not very conducive for retirement, but I got to live myself. And I know this is temporary. With God, it's eternal. There's a big difference there. A big difference. I don't think people can fathom the word eternity, how long that lasts. To burn in hell for an eternity. That's, you ever burned your hand on a stove? Let's get down to it. That hurts, don't it? You put a little flour on it or cold water on it, I don't know, whatever. Ow, that hurts. A little blister popped up. Ouch. Yeah, ooh. You know, if you get burned severely, it may last some months if you really got burned bad. But you're going to eventually heal, but not going to look the same. You know what I mean? not just be graphic about it, but that's what happens. But it hurts, man. Well, the fires of hell was created for the fallen angels. And they will end up there. And Satan in the supernatural realm. They'll have glorified bodies of sorts that won't be consumed by fire, but they'll still have the bodies. God can do that, you know. Now, annihilation is actually reward. Do what I want to do, man. Oh, yeah, brother. Do whatever I want to do. I can kill, murder, rape, man, get away with it, put in jail, so what? And then when I die, I just go out into existence. I don't like this world anyway. Well, I got news for you. You're not going to. This is eternal. You think spending 25 years in prison is something? Try eternity. Never, 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 ever dying. Your body won't rot or get old. But you'll be punished for an eternity in fires of hell. That's coming. That's in the Bible. Now, you can rewrite it if you want to. You can make up your own Bible. Thomas Jefferson wrote his own Bible. Mary Eddie Baker wrote her own Bible. Man, everybody writes their own Bible. Charles Russell, Taze Russell, whatever. Joseph Smith, Muhammad something, whatever. They all want to write Buddha, the donut boy. They all want to write their own Bibles, their own books, whatever. They can do it all they want. I can write my own if I wanted to. It don't make it true. Matter of fact, about 100% of them are going to be false. Maybe I'll stop writing my own Bible and just write nursery rhymes or something. Might as well, because it's the same thing. King James Bible is the only true word of God on the face of the planet. It comes from God to man. 40 men who were obedient to God. He chose them to write as he inspired them. Moses by his voice. Jesus by following him and listening. And the rest by the Holy Spirit guidance of telling them what to write through their heart and their hands did the writing. And it wasn't automatic writing like Satan does. It's from the heart of their minds and their heart writing with their hands. But God didn't guide the fingers. God guided the heart. Satan's got to guide the fingers because the heart ain't with him. It's called automatic writing. He's got to take over the physical. I just thought of that. He's got to take over the physical parts of the body to make their hands move. But he can't guide the heart. However, in your music and other areas of those that's given their lives over to Lucifer, it's called channeling and overshadowing. Because they have free will given their life. These are almost all the singers, dancers, movie stars, scientists. On the supernatural way. Oh, I've talked about this before in detail. Family, supernatural is what's ruling out there. Mankind is a pawn. So which pawn you want to be? You want to be the love son and daughter of Jesus Christ, the Creator, God? Or you want to follow along with evil? You ain't got it. You got a third choice. There's only two. And the King James Bible establishes, he gives you an instruction booklet. Why are you using that word? But let's get down to it. It tells you what you, it's the history, it's the birth, the announcement of history of mankind. But it's telling you the future. It's not a book of the past. King James Bible is a book of the future. Everybody thinks it's a history book. It's no history book. It's a book of the future of eternity. It's coming. You see the signs. Lord, we thank you today for bringing us together again. For another week of broadcasting, Father, and Bible studies, we thank you for the opportunity with our own network. Lord, we thank you how you worked this out. Father, we know miracles can happen. Lord, we pray for our brethren around us. We pray for ourselves, Lord, that you'll spread the Holy Spirit around us, Lord, and protect us with the blood of Jesus. And guide us, Lord, with your conviction, your tribulations to keep us, get us stronger, and, Lord, to give us strength to go through it. We know, Father, you won't put more in what we can handle. But Lord, we know, we, Father, you put a whole lot on us sometimes. And Lord, but we know you're there to push us through, to help us. We pray for our brethren. We pray for our family members, for healings that we've talked about, Father, we've raised before. We pray, Father, that all the tragedies and the families that we have, that, and the healings that goes on, that, Lord, that you'll use that to glorify you, Lord, and today give us the words to speak. And Father, we bring upon you our sins that we've committed, our thoughts and deeds, Father, we may have done, that we lay them before you, Lord. We pray that you'll forgive them through the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity for eternal life through the sacrifice of your Son, only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the healings of those returning back from the wars, that, Father, you'll set up divine appointments for them, that they'll meet family members or friends or loved ones or even strangers, that, Father, will witness the love of Jesus to them. So the thoughts of suicide and the thoughts of taking on some religion or something, Father, would be far from their minds, but seeking the truth about Jesus will be on their first and foremost written on their heart. And Father, many can return to Jesus Christ when they come back and learn to forgive themselves, Lord, no matter what. And Father, we know you'll forgive them if they ask. But Father, give them the courage and give them the humbleness to ask for that forgiveness and to give them to forgive themselves, Lord, to soften their hearts. We pray for the children that are being looked at, being did for the sacrifices coming up in the March and April and the May time frame. Lord, we know that there are going to be kidnappings for children that's going to be used for these sacrifices and for other means by the Wicca. And Father, to expose the fallen angels for who and what they are and shut down their portals, Lord, and to ground these chemtrail planes, Lord, that they won't be able to fly, to tear up their electronics and their computer programs and destroy the insides of these planes, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Father, through all this, that you'll touch the hearts of those, Father, that are involved in all this, that, Lord, you'll touch their hearts, though, and bind the Holy Spirit, that they'll seek the blood of Jesus. And, Father, these things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friend, a lot of changes are coming. You can see them pick up steam. You can see, I just think, you know, my opinion here is that the rule is that deception is coming from the churches. Deception is coming from so-called truth tellers that are capitalizing on the Word of God, and they're coming up with wrong predictions and wrong and misinterpretations of Scripture. And it's the rule, not the exception. This is the rule. The exception is finding the truth. Family, Satan is prince of this world. What does that mean to people? What don't they understand about that? Well, Jesus Christ will reign after Armageddon. Right now, he's up there for your help. He's your backup. He's your naval gunfire. He is the one. He's your lawyer right now. But I'm going to tell you something now. When he comes down in those clouds, it won't be some silly UFO. When he comes down, the real Jesus, not the fake one they got coming, Sanand Emmanuel or whatever, he's on his way to hell, of which there's no forgiveness. The fallen angels will not be forgiven. They knew what they were doing. They're doomed. They know it. Some of them might not know it. Satan's got them fooled. That's their business. That's their problem. That's all God's business to do what he's going to do there. But for us humans, Jesus Christ died for you on the cross of Calvary. Why? So you could spend eternity with him. Why would he do that? Why did he have to die? Because the wages of sin is death. He hates sin. One lie. He ain't one lie. One lie. There's no, well, only 10. So I've done my 8, so I got 2 more to go. It doesn't work that way. You know, you don't color code lies. There's no such thing as a white lie or telling a lie across my fingers, put behind my back. It don't work. It might work when you're 3 years old, but yeah, that's cute, isn't it? No, it's not. You know why? With these holidays, let's just call it what it is. I can't dance around the bush today. They've got us lying to our children. Mommy. Yeah, Cletus. Mama, is there? Mama, is there a Santa Claus? Yes, Cletus, there is. That's Cletus when he's a young kid. And Cletus was lied to. Is there a Santa Claus? Heck no, there's no Santa Claus, man. Santa, in fact, is an anagram for Satan. The New World Order, fallen angels coming in as your so-called ascended masters. They're masquerading because they're too much cowardly to come in as fallen angels. We are fallen angels. No, they're coming in as aliens, which is a lie. There's no such thing as aliens. They're coming in as your ascended masters. They're taking on whatever disguise they want to come in as to fool whatever group they want to fool. And family, this includes your joint chief of staff. This includes the highest level of kings and queens in every country. Now, the Committee of the 300, UN, they have chairs specifically where they invoke these demonic beings inside that meeting. Now, can I get more exact than that? Or they channel through a specific channeler, and they give directions to your Club of Rome, to your UN, to your Council of Foreign Relations, highest level, Royal Institute of National Affairs, Trilateral Commission. These people are possessed, channeled, overshadowed by fallen angels that are demonic. Now, that's where the rules are coming from today of this world. Now, I can't get more exact than that. I'm not talking about philosophy or science fiction or, coast to coast, whatever. I'm talking to you exactly what affects your lives and always has. It's about these fallen angels, ministers of evil, in the supernatural realm called the second heaven. First heaven is earth. Second heaven is the universe as we know it, planets and all that, where only energy beings can actually operate. On these planets, you have portals between planet to planet of supernatural beings. Orbs is all they are. Can assume any shape they want to, but they're orbs of energy. And the third heaven, and it's in the Bible, the third heaven, look it up, is where God and his angels reside. It's like an onion of different layers going out, three layers to be exact. And within the second heaven, you have principalities, powers of darkness, different dimensions within the second heaven. Each angel or demon has a particular rank structure, meaning dimension that they occupy. There's no such thing as aliens, and they're fooling the highest level of government officials, scientists, military leaders. And the way they keep it secret for now is through the secret societies. Top secret classifications. That's what that's for. Because all the governments, all the militaries, all the secret societies, intelligence agencies, they all work together. They're not different. They're not apart from each other. They have inner rivalries and all that, power lust, stupidity mostly, but they all work together. So when they say the CIA is going against the KGB, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's not true. They all work together. Mossad, KGB, BND, DGSC, all these, France, Germany, Middle East, they all work together. Now that's been proven many times. Chinagate, Iran-Contra affair, you got, I know that the ISI, Pakistan Intelligence, CIA, Iranian Intelligence, Saudi Intelligence, Turkish Intelligence, working together, moved 10,000 Mujahideen from Afghanistan into Croatia and Bosnia. I know that happened for a fact. I got it documented. And each one of the Saudi Arabian Intelligence, Iranian Intelligence, Turkish, CIA, each had a different assignment to make sure the 10,000 Mujahideen have Jihad Will Travel went from Afghanistan to then began in Croatian Bosnia. I know for a fact that's where Bin Laden came from. And Brzezinski, it's easier to kill a million people than control a million people. Brzezinski, that one, that's one evil man you can't even imagine. He's been around a long time, like Killinger. Yeah, I know. I messed his name up. But you can't imagine these people, how evil they are. They work for Satan. They believe in Lucifer. It's not about a culture or Jew or any of these kind of cultures. What it's for, it's about Luciferian. It's not about flags, sovereignty, patriotism, all that stuff. That's keep you all busy. They don't care about that. Your generals at the highest level, CFR generals, they don't care about patriotism. They're using that to keep people in control. You see? It's all a facade. I don't see really how they sleep with themselves. They must really have a reprobate mind. I don't hold much back when I broadcast. I don't hold much. I never do, actually. I don't hold much back at all. But how these people sleep at night, just it amazes me. I mean, I know in my days when I was lying in my domestic life and all that, in my days before I was born again, I covered it up by making excuses or just forgetting about it somehow or doing a good deed or something that made me feel better. So the way you can forget about you're lying, you're cheating, and all that other stuff. So you got to figure a way to, you know why you do that? Because the Spirit of God is convicting you, and you don't like it. It makes you feel bad and uncomfortable. So you try to find ways to override it. That's how it works. You know? But that's not a bad thing. You know why? Because you feel guilty about what you've done. That's a good thing. Because that means the Holy Spirit's talking to you. But now, if you can do these things, and it not bother you, yeah. You better start worrying. And I don't think the best of suits is going to help you none either. If you know what I mean. Things are picking up steam. I'm getting all kinds of people sending me news and stuff. And I got my own route I take personally. And then people send me stuff, and I like to see what people send me matches what I'm finding, and they make little comments and all this and all that, and that's very valuable for me for my analysis. I get stuff from all over the place, and I can take it all in, man, just bring it, give it, give me, give me, give me, give me. But the thing is, what I try to find is a commonality of what's going on, and that's how, you know, it's called intelligence analysis. It works, too. You analyze. Because the Holy Spirit makes it happen. And boy, I tell you, I don't know about y'all, but I feel that Holy Spirit's moving around along. Something's picking up. Tom? And I say, what? Give us something to go with. And I say, okay. Here we go. Who was the first Jew? Do you know who it was? That seems to be coming up lately. About America is the chosen tribe of Israel. Not only is that nonsense, but that's what's coming up now. It's always come up, but this has come up more often now, that we are the lost tribe here. Oh, that means you're white folk or the lost tribe of Israel. Do tell. Well, I got news for you. You're not. And America is definitely not in the Bible. There's no way we are in the Bible. Now, you can take scripture, 3, 4, 5, I don't know, twist it, turn it upside down, reword it, or whatever, wishful thinking if you want, and somehow justify it. That's what Christian Identity is up to doing. Herbert Armstrong and the group, and the Arnold Murray group, and Sacred Name Movement, Hebrewist Movement, James Dobson, Family Research Council, all... General Boykin, all this is some kind of mishmash of white folk or the lost tribes of Israel. And America's Babylon and all kinds of just nonsense. And then the black folks say, well, Jesus was black. Well, I got news for you. He was born in the Middle East. That should be a slam dunk clue that he's probably got bronze skin, short hair, and looks like Arab, Indian, or Mexican. Now, if y'all white folk got a problem with that, that's your problem. I got a problem with it all. It's about the soul. It's not about skin color, for goodness sakes. It's not about some country or sovereignty or red, white, and blue and all this, that, and the other. This is about Jesus Christ, man. And he's not about any country, any flag, any sovereignty. Sovereignty was created so countries would fight each other. That's what sovereignty and patriotism and all that sort of thing is all about. Now, y'all can go that way if you want to, but I'm going to stay with Jesus Christ. That's my choice. And if he wants to bring the country back, that's his business. 2 Chronicles 7:14. But we haven't humbled ourselves. That hasn't happened. We haven't prayed for the nation and repented of our sin as a nation. And man, we have some heavy ones starting in 1712 and further back than that, actually. Enslaving a race of black, murdering Indians and Mexicans. I mean, we got a lot to repent for all the way up to 1960s. Hadn't really stopped, actually. Well, I mean, prove me wrong. Look up Willie Lynch, his letter, 1712. We had slaves murdered, raped, and what's worse, genetically modified. Beginning 1712, killed off the weak, genetically modified by breeding. That's why I had to, if you read Willie Lynch's letter, you'll see what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. Bred the black community, the black race, to be better slaves. And you don't think we don't have to repent for that? Oh, we do. Our descendants in the South and the North. And what about the Indians? What about that? They were here first. I don't care how you want to call it. They were here first. What did Columbus do? He was an avatar too, by the way. Member of the royal family. Luciferian he was. Family, we got to look at the reality. If you don't, God does. God knows. And he had been so patient with us. So patient. So patient. Well, now we're turning against him. Homosexuality. Is that a sin or not? Adultery. Is that a sin? Yeah, it's all sin. But now we're changing the laws to reflect that sin. Make it legal. Oh. Now we've got a problem. Big, big problem. That's happening. And see, the Luciferians, they know that. So once they've subjugated the culture, that be us here now, to start changing the laws, it's taking them generations and generations to do it. It's happening. And once the laws change, that's when God acts and allows judgment. And Satan just can't wait. Now, that's exactly what's going on today. You know, individually, when we turn away from God, he steps back. Individually, you go through judgment. You go through tribulations individually. You take a blood oath of Freemasons. Your family is going to go to pot. No pun intended. Your marriage is going to break up. You're going to have problems, keep secrets. You're done. But when you repent, God comes back and he gives you a little poos. Like, wow. Man, and these things start changing individually. Now you take the country to change the rules, the laws to match that of Satan, and going against the Bible. Judgment will come upon that nation. Y'all get ready. There's no way around it. And the laws are changing one by one. You can see it happening in the year 2013 toward the last half of it. It was all about homosexual marriage. Now, I'm not judging homosexuals. I was a liar and a cheater when I was married years ago. I've been a sinner. I'll admit that first. I can't talk about homosexuals without talking about my sin. Now, homosexuality wasn't my sin, but lust was. Lying and cheating, other things. Desire to want to kill. Desire to want to hurt people. But I justified my idiocy on trying to find bullies. I hated bullies, so I wanted to try to find bullies to hurt them. It didn't make any difference. Either way, I was wrong. But I trained all my life to kill. I trained all my life to fight in the Marine Corps. When I got out, I didn't want to stop none. I kept going. I even volunteered for places. Kosovo, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Congo. Wherever I wanted to find a war, I kept going. This was recent, too. Past, 7 years. And then God got a hold of me with this broadcast and other things and really started fine-tuning, I guess. Put me in a place where I couldn't get in any trouble. And so that's, so homosexuality is wrong. The construct of the bodies might be a clue, a little bit of a clue. Well, it's called effeminate in the Bible. I'm just going to talk about homosexuality is all. So now we change the laws. Make it legal and promote it. Take down 10 commandments. Whatever they can find. And what it does, it starts tipping the scale. Because the laws change in that direction. Uh-oh. So who was the first Jew? Well, the difficulty with that question is the fact that the word Jew does not occur in the Bible until about around the Old Testament, 2 Kings, around chapter 16 and chapter 25. The word Jew starts coming up. And other Bible translations about that place. Now, in these cases, the Hebrew word would be better translated to understand it, I guess, but it's for men of Judah. That makes a sense there. Of course, they call them Jew. The word Jew is much more commonplace in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And the way they use the word Jew in those books helps explain the origin of the word and why they even use it. So, who was the first Jew? It actually depends on what's meant by the word Jew. See, originally, God's chosen people were known as the Hebrews. Later, they settled in the Promised Land and formed a nation. They were known as Israelites. So, the term Jew didn't come into use until after the 10 northern tribes, Jacob, then were exiled in Assyria, and Judah was then exiled to Babylon. They know where they are. It's not America. Anyway, so in these later times of their captivity, and you'll find this mentioned in Esher, and the early stages of the return of the land of Israel, you had Ezra and Nehemiah talks about it there. This tribe called Judah was dominant over all the others. So, consequently, that's where the word Jew was developed as a shortening of the word Judah. Jew, Judah. Judah, Jew. So, the word itself, Jew, they used as a describer for more than just the tribe of Judah, but for all of them. And so, because the Judah tribe was dominant, and that in return to the Promised Land, it also resulted in all the Israelites, people from all 12 of the tribes, then, therefore, being referred to as Jews. So, who was the first Jew? So now, by Jew, we mean Hebrews? Well, that'd be Abraham. He was the first one. So if by Jew we talk about the tribe of Judah, Judah was the first Jew. if by Jew we mean the first person in the Bible referred to as a Jew, well, the nameless Jews in 2 Kings chapter 16 to 25 were the first Jews. So, speaking generally, people today use the term Jew to refer to a person who's the chosen people of Israel. Abraham would be considered the first Jew. To Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes, boom, there you go. Now, they were born in the Middle East. And do you know that Ishmael was the first son of Abraham and Sarah? And do you know that Ishmael was the son of an Egyptian princess who was a handmaiden to Sarah? How she got in there, I'm not sure, but somehow or another she got in there as a handmaiden to Sarah. And she was Egyptian. So Ishmael is half Abraham and half Egyptian. So that means he's half brother DNA-wise to Isaac. And Jacob, that DNA guess keeps going. Ain't no white folk there. They're Middle Easterner. 12 tribes, Middle Easterner. There's your real Jews. They're Middle Easterners. And white folk and Chinese folks and all those up north are descendants of Japhet. And the black folk are descendants of Ham. And Ham does not mean black. Ham means he was a stutterer. That's all Ham is in Hebrew. I mean, in that language. But Egyptian, Ham means black. Black. That was after, though, because remember, Ham came off the ark. Now, that's the short of it. So for those that think that America is a lost tribe of Israel, I got news for you. You're coming out of Europe, brother. You ain't coming out of no Middle East. So you white folk, get over it. America, get over it. And get with the program, and that is with Jesus and Jesus alone. And your color, your skin, and your favorite parking place don't have anything to do with nothing. It's about humbling ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ. Accepting Jesus as your Savior. Repenting of sins. Let that pride go. Let that ego go bye-bye. And you general, you GS-15 physicist, what, I don't care who you are. SEAL member, I don't care who you are. Get on your knees to Jesus Christ. And ask him to forgive you of everything you've done that you can remember. Everything. Now you're going to cry. The tears are going to flow if you're truly, truly repentant. But that's a good thing. If you know it's going to come, then you have someone you love there with you as you give your life to Jesus Christ. And he'll give you rest. Until then, you're not going to have rest. And if you think for a moment that when this thing goes down, when judgment comes upon the United States, and it will, and you're going to live off the land, I got news for you, brother. They already got that figured out. They'll hunt you down. You will never be able to get away. All your skills and SAR training, all that stuff won't matter one hill of beans when there ain't nothing there to work on. They'll find you in a heartbeat because they got you chipped. They got your DNA. They can find you anywhere on the face of this planet using the technology that they've developed. I found the technology goes back to 1973. They got your DNA. They got your DNA signature. They got you microchipped. They're going to find you. This technology is 35 years old. I don't use my cell phone. I don't use a computer. I'm off the grid. You ain't off no grid. That's the silliest thing I ever heard in my life. Man, you got to get off the grid. Oh, brother. That's absolute silliness. The technology they've got you pegged wherever you go. But that's not even the worst of it. You wait till the Nephilim comes on this earth. When the Nephilim come out of their caves, come out from the underground, That's when God removes his protective hedge. That's the reality of what's going to happen. Family, get right with God through Jesus Christ, because it's coming down to it. And take that burden away. And then when you've done it, then God will say, okay. And he'll say, okay, now here's one. I want you to share that experience. And you'll share that experience. And when that person does what you've done, and God will say, okay, now both of you go out to other places and you share your experiences with four more. And he'll say, that four, do it to eight. Eight, do it 16, 32. You got the idea in that, right? That's how it works. Because there's no secrets in God's kingdom. You got the secret Christian handshake? Yeah, let's see it. All right. Yeah, you're a Christian. All right. Of course, it's going to come down to it now, though. When they have dictatorship, when the Antichrist comes, it may happen that way. But I think they got that solved, though. They don't have it like in the days of the Roman days when they had to hide in the catacombs and all that stuff. And this thing about the Wolverines, about Red Dawn, yeah, that was 1980s. That was like 30 years ago. Let me tell you something. They got that solved, too. You know the Red Dawn movie, both of them? You know what that really was? That's a war game scenario they played on a movie, and it was a good movie, wasn't it? Give you all kinds of chill bumps. We are the Wolverines, all that kind of stuff. You know, I got news for you. That ain't going to happen. That was a war game and exercise. Both of them were. In preparation, predictive programming. You see, that's coming around. Family, they're not sleeping. They got technology you would not believe. But here's the deal. Here's what I call I use the term rub. Here's the rub. Is they've lost already. God will let this go on so long for judgment upon the United States and the world. When you let the Antichrist loose, Antichrist, you have no idea. People have no clue what's going to happen when the second seal's opened. Third World War. Tom, why are you telling all this negative stuff? Because it's what's coming, that's why. You see, when you get right with God, you don't worry about it. I ain't the least bit worried about it. I'm not. For me, this is just me now. You do what you want. Think what you want. But for me, death is simply a transition. But if my soul's not right with God, then I better start worrying. Annihilation is reward. It's not punishment. You think God's just going to say, well, okay, you've been a bad boy. I'm going to send you to hell for, I don't know, a couple hundred years, and then I'll annihilate you. You don't find that in the Bible nowhere. Now, they got heresy that's designed for that. All kinds of ways that they invent their own religions. It ain't going to happen. Mankind don't have the wisdom to design religion. No, excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Mankind has the inspiration to design religion, but he doesn't know the truth. The truth that contained the King James Bible. There's your truth right there. But not in the other Bibles. Oh, Tom, you're getting confusing. It's only two Bibles ever been written. The King James stands alone. From the Textus Receptus from Antioch. The second Bible comes from Origen, R-I-G-E-N, Greek philosopher, in Alexandria, Egypt, in the 4th century. He copied, corrupted, the scrolls he obtained from Antioch. His own copies. He didn't touch the others. He got his own copies. That went to Eusebius, 75 to 100 years later. Eusebius brought 50 Bibles to Constantine. Then began the corrupted Bibles from the Roman Catholic Church. Fast forward to Jerome. Fast forward to Westcott and Hort. And you got the basis of every Bible on the face of this planet except for one, King James. every other Bible is corrupted beyond measure and with evidence. From Douay-Rheims, Jerusalem Bible, NIV, New King James, just name it. Doesn't make any difference. All of them. All could be traced back to origin, Alexandria, Egypt, in the 4th century. Every single Bible. But not the King James. It's separate, stands alone, its own translation stream. They didn't even copy the Geneva Bible. They just used the Matthew's Bible just as a model. Because the Geneva was completely corrupted. It's the best Bible of the day. Because it's English. But it's still corrupted. Because it came from a corrupted version. That's the short of it. The point of the matter is, the King James Bible that you have right now, I'd start memorizing verses if I were you. And a lot of Bible study. I wouldn't wait around on that one. Because if you do end up in a FEMA camp, you won't be there long. Everybody will fear in the FEMA camp and the guillotines. I never could spell that word the same way twice or three times in a row. Anyway, the guillotine. In fact, when you got millions of people, you're not going to be using guillotines. You're going to use the guillotines in the yard to kill 10 people at the same time, dramatically, so everybody else that sees it will have fear and will renounce Jesus Christ and take the mark of the beast. Any questions? Everybody else, because of technology, you're not going to the ovens. They got these chambers that people put in, like kind of like gigantic big old microwave ovens or something that disassembles your molecules. Whatever it is, send my soul away from here so I can be with Jesus Christ. And let's get it on. If it's a guillotine, well, nothing to lose your head over, because your soul leaves it and the body will come back anyway. So what's the problem? I don't see the big problem. You just get a head start, no pun intended. Family, they put fear in you. They want you fearful, scared, and think you're alone. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit's with you right now. So I say, pooey. How do you spell pooey? Anyway, family, it's coming. And I mean this, I'm dead serious about this. They want you to have fear. They want you to hear about the guillotine, so you'll start worrying about guillotines. Well, God says, no worry, because your soul. Don't worry, your body will catch you back up with you. It's going to go to the ground, sleep for a while. Then God will reconstitute it, bring it back to you. Hey, body, where you been? Wow, didn't look like that back then. I'm not joking here. I'm serious. The dead in Christ will rise. Your soul was with God. Your body's coming at the rapture. Whether it's the pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, whatever it is, it's going to be before the wrath, that's for sure. But don't know when in that seven-seal period. Well, that's God's business. That's God's business. Our business is get about His business, and that is spreading the gospel, learning about His word, living not a life of fear and worry, but a life of looking forward, not looking backwards. They want you looking backwards. And when you look forward, they want you to look forward with fear. You ain't gonna be, they're not gonna try to keep people in FEMA camps more than 10 days. They don't have to feed you, put up with you. So let's get it on. You know where it says in there, in the Bible, you're not gonna like this, but I'm gonna tell you anyway. Matthew 10, look it up as we're talking if you'd like. 33 to 42. Now, if you ain't figured it out already, God thinks ahead. He tells you ahead what's going to happen. If He tells you what's going to happen, He requires Satan to also tell you what's happened before it happens. That's why you use Alex Joneses and all these guys that tell you all this stuff, but only 80% of the truth, and 20% they deviate. They never talk about the Jesuits, never talk about the Knights of Malta, and this is where the enemy comes from. They never tell you about the Zionist Christian or Jew Zionist. They don't tell you about the Zionist radicals. They tell you about the Muslim Zionist or Muslim. Well, that was the same thing, radicals. But in Matthew 10:33-34, it says, "Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now that's not a good thing. That means you're going to hell. He'll deny you because you denied him. He said, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. Now, family, this is in the Bible. Look up 10:34. So when you have these fallen angels, like Sananda Manuel, El Moria, Saint Germain, so-called aliens, or ascended masters, whatever they want to call themselves, coming down here, we bring peace to you. My children, we've gotten rid of the bankers and the evil in this world. You know they're full of mud, because that's not what the Bible says. They're trying to bring all the religions together. That's not what God's trying to do. So first they got to discredit the Bible. That's the first thing. That's what they're going to use the Book of Enoch for. Because it talks about the fallen angels. It talks about the aliens. But then they'll say, well, that was just hyperbole. They're really aliens. They're really ascended masters or whatever. Everybody likes the Book of Enoch. But as far as from God's word, it's junk. Because Enoch never wrote that book. Enoch was taken up before the flood, three generations before the flood. Enoch was taken alive. God changed his body structure, physics. He didn't even die, man. He just changed it right then and right there. Up he went. And let me tell you something. It wasn't by beam me up, Scotty, in a tractor beam. God supernaturally changed the particles of his body and lifted him up like he did Jesus. He didn't leave no book behind. He left a prophecy, as mentioned in Jude, but he did not leave some book. Moses didn't have the Book of Enoch wrapped in plastic so it wouldn't get wet on the flood. Family, his prophecies were passed down. Ended up with the family of Noah, and then from there, they tell stories about the great-grandfathers and whatever. The prophecy was passed down, passed on. And also, the Holy Spirit will touch those men of God to let them know. How do you think Moses knew about the creation? Moses wasn't there. God told him about the creation. Moses wasn't there in creation throughout Genesis. Think about it for a minute. How did Moses know all this? And Moses was no scientist, let me tell you. How did he figure all that stuff out? Unless it's through God that told him. But back to what I was talking about. Think not I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man at variance against his father, and daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, yet that's in the Bible. Look it up right now. Now, let me tell you something about the application of that. Today, what they want is at least one or two members of the family to renounce Jesus Christ and take the mark of the beast. And they will kill your family, moving from children, mother, daughter, till one member of the family will renounce Jesus Christ, Satan's one. But now, if your mother and father, wife, whatever, is born again, you'll see her again. If they're not, you renounce Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. You see the wisdom of this scripture? He knows. He knows it's coming. And that's exactly what they do. They did it in Vietnam. They did it in the Middle East. They do it all the time. What they do is they start killing the children. Now, are you going to renounce it? And then it'll move up to the wife, and then move up to you. And if you don't, they'll kill you. But family, remember, eternity begins with death. What's your option? Renouncing Jesus Christ or not? That's really what it comes down to. So this is why it tells us that. For those of you that are being told to take the mark of the beast, like those clergymen by the name of John MacArthur and the rest of them, clergy response team, 25,000 plus trained by FEMA. Oh, they train these ministers. You cannot trust these ministers anymore because they're going to tell you to take the mark of the beast. They're going to tell you in Romans 13 to do everything that the government tells you. And that's not true either. Render to Caesar that which is Caesar, but unto God that which is God's. When they tell you to sin against God, then you deny. And rebellion is not lock and loading with M4 or M1911A1 45 caliber pistol. It's not what it's about at all. It's about refusing to do it. But the laws, yeah, just do the laws. I mean, give them the taxes, whatever. Give me liberty or give me death. Really. They were traitors back then when they said that. Because they knew what they were doing. They were part of the Freemasonry. They wanted rebellion in order to justify martial law, justify war. Why? To put us under a 70-year bank cycle of being subservient to the crown. And we have been ever since. That's what the Freemasons and the Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and all these others, secret societies, that's what they did. They did it. Put it in the history books that we're free. We're not. Never have been. The losing king, King George III of the so-called country that lost the war, England. We won the war, right? Oh, okay. So how come King George III become Prince of the United States of America Incorporated? We had to pay them back the debt, and he remained king over America as a colony. So how come that happened? I know you judges know, because you judges and lawyers and so forth, because you took an oath to lie to the American people. So we understand that. In 1908, to corrupt the history books beyond measure, so people would not understand it. Oh yeah, that's what they did. They put us under a 70-year bank cycle, 1789, alone. Collateral was Washington, D.C. 1859, it's time for another one. It ran out. So I had another war called Civil War. Collateral, 13 states. Okay, thank you. We appreciate that. That's why the Europeans controlled our Civil War. French on the south, Germans on the north. No problem. They manufactured, monitored, and made sure we fought and killed each other. Like they're going to do again. But anyway, 20 years, 1859 to 1929, an engineered Great Depression. How come these Harvard professors don't understand that? Well, there's 10 reasons why the Depression happened. You're full of mud, too. It happened because the Illuminati set it up in 1910. In 1913, they had the ability to do it through the Federal Reserve Act. It's all planned ahead beginning in 1921. All perfectly planned, ready for it to happen. Lure them in to the happy days of here again, 1921 to 1928. 1927, they had a meeting in the Federal Reserve Board. Met to plan the 1929 crash. We got them in the stock market? Good, let's crash it. Okay. 1928, IG Farben, chemical cartel, funded by Hitler, by Wall Street. Funded Hitler 100%, as it did the Bolshevik Revolution. Hitler, second cousin to Queen Elizabeth, Stalin, and Churchill, all family members, that's correct, was funded in 1929, ready to go, crashed the market with just a phone call. That's all it was, calling in the loans of all the houses and cars, whatever they had. So people then had to sell everything they had, and those that didn't have something had less. It's called the Great Depression. It was orchestrated 10, 20 years before to put us under bondage. 70-year bank cycle, 1929. And guess what? Need collateral, don't we? Every American citizen, bonded by birth certificate, capital letters, was put as a bond slave. You white folk, you became bond slaves and didn't even know it. 1929. They have to keep a secret from you. You had a treasury account. You're bonded at birth for $1 million bond. And guess what's collateral? Your service is rendered as a bond slave. Every American citizen ever since. Now you know the whole truth in a very short nutshell. You see, it's supposed to end 1999. That's 70 years now, isn't it? But it didn't. They did not achieve their New World Order in 1999. World War III was supposed to have happened in June to November, December 99. That was World War III. It was supposed to have happened. I got the details on it, but I ain't going to talk about it now. They failed to accomplish it. That's why they had the stimulus plan, because their bond run out. Still had the money since the day you were born in the treasury account you didn't even know about. But they had no more loan, no more collateral, so they had to have a stimulus to continue with financing this colony called United States of America, Incorporated, a dummy corporation. That's what the stimulus plan is all about. Now, here's my point. They failed. Since the days of Nimrod, Alexander, Charles Maine, King John, Adolf Hitler, fast forward, they failed to bring about a new world order. You know why? Because God was in control. We had laws that supported the Bible. The Constitution was never meant to be a document that it was going to be used. It was a facade. Always has been. Rendered null and void in 1938. It's always been null and void since 1938. FDR confirms we've never had a democracy, and they'll make sure we never have one. March the 4th, 1939, behind closed doors, he said, I got the quote, in front of three congressional committees. Senator Lundeen copied it down, gave it to William G. Carr. He published it, Red Fog Over America, 1955. Family, they lose. They're doing all this for nothing. All these wars we fought was only to collect debt from other countries under the guise of liberty, freedom, spreading democracy. Edward Bernays put that lie out in early 1900s. Family have been taken, but now their time's coming. It's time to pull up our bootstraps and look to the future, not the past. And we have a lot of forgiving to do. We also have a lot of repenting to do, too. St. Chronicles 7:14, people keep forgetting about. It's going to come down to it, though, when they finally bring together this new world order. When it finally takes place, and America will experience what other countries have been experiencing all along. It was going to come down to whether you love Jesus Christ or not, and whether you're going to renounce him or not. That's going to be the bottom line. This generation, maybe. Next generation, possible. Does anybody know? Not really. Who knows? God does. So what do? You live your life, but not in fear and worry. You rest in the arms of the Lord. Resist, of course, resist by by means of not taking the mark when it happens, or doing your meetings and sending emails to stop a certain passage of a bill, or spreading the word of God around, running Bible studies, armed? No. Let's get down to it. I'm heading that way. Psalms 56:10. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Places you can get your free Bible. I got a locations for that. If you want to get a free Bible, I got a list of 10 places you can get a free Bible somewhere. Now, I want to talk about my newsletter. I haven't put out a newsletter in a while. I want to talk about this. I heard about this weekend, and I was fit to be tied. I don't know. Here's what it was. You got this here general. Man, as far as I'm concerned, he's crossed the line. This is, you know, why some other generals don't denounce this individual, I have no idea unless they're part of it. General Jerry Boykin. Article says this on the 20th of February. That's 4 days ago. That's pretty recent. I shook this guy's hand, and Rick Joyner in a conference. I went to a 3-day conference, like, I forgot when. It was like 4 years ago. I wasn't aware of the intricacies of the Knights of Malta, and I was asked to come down by some friends. Tom, you want to come to the conference? I said, what conference? He said, Rick Joyner's conference down in Morningstar Ministries or something down in Charlotte. I was on my way back to Georgia from North Carolina. I said, yeah, I'll stop by, whatever. So I stood there three days. I heard this conference. My mouth just gaped open the whole 3 days. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Now I know why my friends asked me to come by. I was dumbfounded. So, you know, when people quit speaking, you go down in the front and you shake their hand or sign their books and all that stuff. So I went down there to shake, you know, do the hand thing, and my mouth started opening, man. I started talking to Rick Joyner when I had my opportunity to shake his hand and all that stuff. And I started telling about the New World Order, and he couldn't get away from me fast enough. I could understand that. I thought I'd be interested. And went in the other line with General Boykin when he was signing books, something, some trash, whatever he wrote. And I got to him, and he looked for the book, and I said, I didn't buy no book. And I said, you know, do you know about the Temple of Understanding? He said, well, I don't, you know, I haven't heard about that. Well, I know it has. And I saw the pin, the Knights of Malta pin on his lapel. I said, oh, gosh. And started talking about the New World Order, and he couldn't get away from me fast enough either. I couldn't understand that neither. Until I started studying him a little later that week, and I understood perfectly. Here's the article. General Jerry Boykin, Knights of Malta, by the way, says, quote, gun-toting Jesus will lead a mighty army during the second coming. I about croaked when I read that. Jesus coming, he'll be carrying a really big gun when he does. Unquote. Now that's what this former U.S. Lieutenant General William G. Jerry Boykin thinks, according to a speech he gave on behalf of the Conservative Family Research Council. Now, the Family Research Council is connected to the Council on National Policy. Yeah, buddy. I found names connecting. Family Research Council. How to destroy the family. James Dobson, all these CMP, Council of National Policy members. LaHaye's, Pat Robinson's, Oliver Norris, Palin, right-wangers. Knights of Malta. Work for the Vatican. Work for the monarchy. Look at their blood oath. Oh, Leonard Horowitz, the whole 9 yards of them. Look him up. Churchill was the Knights of Malta. It just gets worse. So, Family Research Council is communist. It's not of God by no stretch of imagination. It's secret society members connected to the Council of National Policy, and the Council of National Policy is sub to the Council of Foreign Relations. Yep. And the Council of National Policy was the formation, or formulated, the Tea Party organization. NACERA, Ron Paul, all those other secret society members and programs to placate the American public and to get the names of those as quote-unquote patriots. So they come get you later. That's what Ron Paul's all about. That's what NACERA is all about. That's what the Tea Party thing's all about, is give people a false hope of patriotism and all that kind of thing, but get you away from God under the guise of working for God. Now, this was at the Walled Builders Pro-Family Legislators Conference, okay, in which he describes his vision of the second coming of Christ, what he believes will be led by blood-stained, gun-toting Jesus, armed to the teeth with an AR-15 assault rifle. I just about croaked when I read that. I'm just now recovering. I had to unpeel my toes. They were so curled up. My jaw was so torqued tight, I couldn't drink liquid Jell-O with a straw. I couldn't believe this adult individual with four stars, a lieutenant general, whatever it is, don't matter whether it's one or four, it's all the same, he would say such a thing. In my wildest imagination, I can't imagine why somebody in this Wall Builders Pro family didn't stand up and denounce him right then, right there. Right Wing Watch here obtained audio of the event in which Boykin claims that Jesus literally wants everyone to buy assault weapons because it's biblical. What a liar. He also cited Jesus as inspiration behind the Second Amendment. Family, this is way over the edge. This is beyond belief. Boykin said, quote, "The Lord is a warrior." And in Revelation 19, it says when he comes back, he's coming back as what? A warrior. A mighty warrior leading a mighty army, riding a white horse with a blood-stained white robe. I believe that blood on the robe is the blood of his enemies, because he's coming back as a warrior carrying a sword. That's the sword he's bringing is a word of God. It's not a sword of death. All he's going to do is give a command, one command. And the transhumanized army of 200 million will destroy themselves. Then we'll begin Armageddon. There's no Joel's army. Mankind is not going to fight for God. He says, "I believe now, I've checked this out, I believe the sword you'll be carrying when he comes back is an AR-15. This is beyond. I mean, the more I read this, the more I just... Oh, man. That's completely irresponsibility. Total irresponsible. Now, he says, Jesus said, he talks about Jesus saying that to disciples, "Now if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and go buy one." He says, I know everybody says it's a metaphor. It was not a metaphor. He was saying, in building my kingdom, you're going to times. You won't build my kingdom with a sword, but you're going to have to defend yourself. And that is the beginning of the Second Amendment. That's where the whole thing comes from. I can't prove that historically, and David Barton will counsel me when this is over, but I know that's where it came from. And the sword today is AR-15. See, what they want to happen is that people resist with weapons to fight, and now justify martial law, and now it comes the Chinese and the Russians and the mercenaries that will then execute martial law. But they need that rebellion. Armed rebellion is what they need. And that's what Boynton's all about. Because he works for the Vatican. He works for the secret societies and the Illuminati. So, and it worked in 1776, exactly. Because that's exactly what happened in 1776. And I'll explain that in a minute. He goes on, he landed himself in national news in 2003, Boren condemned, when he revealed that while serving as a top Pentagon advisor to the Bush administration, there's a chicken and hen house, he would regularly tell church audiences that the post-9/11 war on terror was in fact a spiritual battle between Muslims and Christian America. Well, that's not true. It's a battle between Freemasons, Knights of Malta, secret societies, and Druids against mankind. Because the Trade Center towers was dedicated September 11th, 1966, by Freemason dedication. Those two towers represent the two columns of Boaz and Jachin, and they were built over a major portal. And so when the sacrifice of human beings went down September 11th, 2001, as a supernatural sacrifice of humans, what that was. What that was all about. They were built to come down from the beginning. World War III was supposed to take place in January, February of 2000. 2001 was to open up portals. Those two towers were built to come down by human sacrifice. Nothing to do with Muslims at all. They're not telling you this. The report goes on to say, Boykin further elaborated on his impression of aggressive, rough and ready Jesus during a men's prayer breakfast at William Jessup University, declaring, quote, "He was a man, he was a man's man, but we feminized him in the church, golly. He was a tough guy, and that's the Jesus that I want to be like. That's the side I want to be like." Okay. Well, I'm going to maintain some measure of control here. Do tell. Well, then, gosh, I guess he doesn't believe the Bible, because Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And also, Jesus and Moses, only two of the men in the Bible that were described as being meek. Now, the man Moses was Numbers 12, verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth." So Moses was meek according to the scriptures. Then you ask yourself, what does meek really mean? It means a calmness under pressure. They've changed the words, the name, the meanings of meek immensely. Jesus was meek. But that means he was calm under pressure. That's what that's talking about. Matthew 21, verse 5. Matthew 11, 29. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." Says it twice, Matthew 21, verse 5. "Tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." As a donkey, for those that might be snickering, but it says in the King James Bible. Now, so that brings to the question, begs the question, what does meek actually mean then? Because that's certainly what Boink is talking about. It's about being calm under pressure. Completely different meaning. and meekness is not weakness. Jesus Christ, what meekness means is a calm temper, someone who's not easily provoked, does not mean weakness. The greatest leaders among God's true people were meek, strong, but not swaggering. And I talked about Moses already. Meekness is self-control quality that Christians are instructed to learn and develop, not just for the interim, but for the powers and responsibilities that await them. That's the real word of it. How come he doesn't know that? He should know that. I mean, I'm just a little old fella here in Mount Airy, North Carolina, and I know this. Or is it they have an agenda? Is that maybe possibly it? Okay, so let's cover that. About bringing a sword. That seems to be the main point here that they're bringing up is possibility. Two swords is enough. You see, Jesus said, ask them, when I sent you without purse or bags or sandals, did you lack anything? Nothing, they answered. He said to them, but now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. If you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, see, Lord, here are two swords. That's enough, he replied. Two swords are enough? Really? Doesn't sound too much like an insurrection there, does it now? Now, I'm going to finish this to tell you this, and then I was going to tell you about the Revolutionary War, but I think I'm going to hold off on that. I may cover that later, but how the Founding Fathers led us down a primrose path. They lied to us. I'll tell you all about that later, but I want to go with the two swords thing because this is the major drive. The history is pretty much history, but this is actually future. But if you go to Luke 22, 35 and 38, let's go turn to it. Because this is what they're going to start spouting off to tea parties and militia groups, and they're going to lead people. Once again, just like they did, well, it does bring me back to it, don't it? Well, I'll be darned, it does. You see, in those days, back in the Revolutionary War, our founding fathers, I see what this is all about now, what God's leading me. Give me liberty or give me death. No taxation without representation. And blah, blah, blah. I'm a former U.S. Marine. I joined the Marine Corps for one purpose, only one purpose. Because I love my country, and I joined to fight. That's the only reason I ever joined the Marine Corps. I had no other reason, man. I was going to be an ocean archaeologist or a highway patrolman. I had no idea. Until I got out of college, but when I found out about the Marine Corps and I'd be an officer in the Marines and lead these men to battle, man, I said, man, I'm done. That's where I'm headed, man. I'm going to kill me a VC if I can. I had all that stuff in my head, all that garbage in my head going on. I had no idea how it was all set up. But I wanted to go kill. That's what I wanted to do. Serve my country and all this and all that. Well, what I wasn't aware of about the lie that these founding fathers told our people. We were a colony, and we still are a colony today, as Israel and Canada and Australia are colonies of England. We never won our freedom. That's a fact. Your judges, they all know this. They took an oath of some kind at Harvard, wherever they went to school, to never tell you this. And lawyers won't tell you this either. But you see, the reality of then back then, they wanted to have insurrection. I'm going to tell you why. And they're doing it again today. Same thing. Let me tell you what happened. It is usual for the king's printer to publish at the nominal charge the evidence before the royal commission in order that the public would study the facts for yourself. These days are gone because history books are totally screwed up. But you see, they could then instruct the elected representatives. Elected means they work for the people, but they've got it reversed. That what they wish done to correct any maladministration but what they try to do at the highest level, because the secret societies, is hide the truth. Now, the people then, as they are today, are kept in ignorance. And this is for fear that the people would be sufficiently aroused to have acted in accordance with the Constitution. So even back in the British period, under the British constitutional monarchy, which we're still under today, the absolute and final authority and sanction for all that's done by Parliament or Congress, primarily Parliament because we're still a colony, rests with the electors. Even the king, under the system we have now, or queen, must bow to the wishes of the people. The laws clearly stated, and the king and his dominion governors. But on constitutional authority, that the function of Parliament is to make laws in accordance with the wishes of the people. And biblical morality. That's what it's always been. But because of secret societies and Lucifer's control, it's never meant to be followed through. If it's the duty of Parliament to make laws, it's the duty of Parliament to see laws are enforced without fear or favor to anyone. Now, because the will, in the study of law of constitution, the will of the electors, that's you, is supreme over Parliament, and Parliament must obey the will or suffer the penalty. But nobody's ever told that. The electors have the constitutional right at any time, not just election time, to express their will to Parliament. Only matter. Congress is nothing more than errand boys to go to Parliament. They make it seem like they're important because they got a favorite parking place, but they're not. And this on any issue. Parliament, that we're under still, must obey the will of the people. So the king, the governor, general, governors, whatever, are constitutionally bound by their oath of office to carry out the will of the people. So, the will of the people can be properly conveyed to Parliament by the parliamentary representatives as the legal right and obligation of the electors to instruct parliamentary representatives on what is their will by petition. They didn't tell our founding, they didn't tell the people in America this. Instead, April 19th, 1775, they said, let's go kill 1,200 British soldiers. British soldiers were sacrificed. Our people were sacrificed. Everybody sacrificed for the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, the monarchy, and the Vatican to establish a dictatorship, but keep it secret. It's the legal right and obligation of electors to instruct their parliamentary representatives on what's their will. Now, our people weren't told this. The Patrick Henrys were quiet about it because most of the Masons were free. Most of the signers of Declaration were Freemasons. The ones that weren't were under control. If a member is so instructed by electorate refused to do as electors tell him, then the electors petition the king, governor general or governor, whatever his case may be, to remove him from Parliament because every member of Parliament clearly, definitely, by oath of allegiance to the king, is bound to the king or queen's coronation oath. The coronation oath that you've heard about before, maybe, is to observe the liberties and freedoms and free customs and vested rights of the people. But here comes the rub. You see, the people have not the right to revolt. There's no need to revolt. And revolution plays into the hands of the international capitalist, the Illuminati, and their manual of action, which, going way back in our history till now, when the Communist Party just kind of took over control, which they still are today, in our government too, it always has been, Reagan lied, that all the citizens of any British dominion, which we are still, all they need to do is to petition the king or the queen, because of the coronation oath, and the governor general, whatever the case may be, to dissolve parliament to the electors may elect new members who's going to promise to carry out their wishes. It's that simple. But they never told you. So then, why are the children of British subjects not taught the truth regarding the political rights and privileges? Brzezinski talks about, lately we've become politically aware. That's why he's saying it's easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. So by revolting, it justifies martial law and dictatorship by consent, because we're nothing more than a corporation. You see what they did to us, to our ancestors? While we had slaves too, by the way. They kept us in ignorance. My people perished for lack of knowledge. Now you go back to Paris Peace Treaty of 1783 after the Revolutionary War. Paris Peace Treaty put us in bondage. They didn't tell you that. They didn't put it in history books either. You're a bunch of liars, man. And in 1789, then they went under the 70-year bank cycle. Now you know the rest of the story. That your so-called Congress and these lawyers and why Harvard and all these others, MIT and Harvard, Yale, why they lie. Because they don't want you to know this. They want you to fight to justify martial law. This is where Jerry Boykin comes in. Now they're using the Bible. Again. And I'm exposing it. All the good it's going to do. But I'm exposing it anyway. Because you need to know the truth. So whether they're using the Bible now, and he used it right here, about buying a sword. Let's talk about that now. The truth about it. This is their comeback. Well, Jesus said about, okay, well, let's talk about that now. Now, Jesus' disciples were instructed by Jesus to take with them their money, their bags and their shoes, basic necessities for traveling. And disciples before never brought these things along with them because the all-abundant Lord was always there for them. Whenever the Lord sent them, he provided all their needs. Therefore, disciples never had to worry about all these things. So now he's leaving them, isn't he not? Situation's changed. The Lord was listed among the criminals, and the disciples were about to lose their only dependent. So the Lord wanted them to be prepared to face the coming persecution. Now, what really boggles our mind is when requesting disciples to prepare the purses, the bags, and shoes, reasonable things to do, then it boggles your mind, why did the Lord insist they all sell their cloaks to buy swords? So you ask yourself, could it be that the Lord wanted to equip them to fend themselves against coming persecution? Or when the Lord was shown two swords by disciples, he said, that's enough. So if the swords were going to be used, their AR-15s, were going to be used as a defense against the Roman soldiers, would two little old swords be enough? They should have had an arsenal, shouldn't they? At the night when the Roman soldiers apprehended Jesus, he forbid his disciples from retaliating, fighting. You know, what they're not thinking about is because if he really wanted to, he could have summoned easily more than 12 legions of angels to protect him. He didn't need them to come up with a sword. Peter got a little ambitious there. He whacked off an ear and Jesus healed it of the servant of one of the members of this party. If one angel could easily exterminate more than 100,000 soldiers in a single night, 2 Kings 19, verse 35. 2 Kings 19, verse 35. One angel exterminated over 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. Can you imagine? Now, that's something for Harry Potter to put in his movie. Except this really happened. What purpose could two swords serve? Or even two AR-15s? Or whatever? Come on now, let's get real. The Lord had other intentions for instructing the disciples to buy swords. The actual meaning behind this sell your cloak is at all cost. Even if they were to be deprived of clothes, buying a sword has a meaning of being alert and vigilant. The Lord wanted to tell disciples that even at all costs they needed to remain alert and be vigilant of what's getting ready to happen. They showed their swords to Jesus. We have two. It's a sign of acknowledgement that to understand the severity of this matter, but when the Lord said that's enough, he didn't mean that two swords were enough to face the enemy. Rather, he meant that so long the disciples were aware and alert of the dangers before them, that's enough. You can't run an insurrection with two swords. See how they twist the scriptures? But who does the Lord want the disciples to protect with the swords with? Is it the Lord himself or is it the disciples? Were there swords whom they are defending against? Who? Is it the Roman soldiers or the guards of the high priest? Who? Who's the enemy? You know, Jesus was apprehended. Peter used a sword and cut off the ear of one of the high priest's servants. Jesus healed the ear, reprimanded Peter, saying, "Put your sword back in its place. For all who draw the sword shall die by the sword." Clearly, Jesus did not want his disciples to use the sword to defend themselves against his captors. All the while, Peter misunderstood the words of Jesus, didn't he? Even denied him after that, even. He failed to perceive the true spiritual meaning of what Jesus was talking about. So that very night was, at that one point, a triumphant measure for the prince of darkness. That's where the evilness of man's heart has reached its climax, and they were not afraid to even murder the Son of the Most High God. Satan did not overlook Jesus' disciples. He prepared to sift them as wheat. He actually made use of this trial before them to reveal their heart's innermost darkness, to entice them into sinning and forsake God. That's what they did. They all denied him. Every one of them denied him. Thomas was the last one, stubborn as he was. Yeah. Even after everybody said, "We saw Jesus," "I don't believe you until I see the holes of his hands, his feet, and the side, the slit in his side. I won't believe you." Thomas was stubborn to the very end. So at the moment that Peter drew his sword out to fight, to kill, he already lost the spiritual battle against Satan. Peter forsook the teachings of Jesus concerning loving your enemies as yourself and pray for those who persecute you. Family, don't think that it's easy for me to tell you this. It goes against my grain. It goes against my training. It goes against what I've trained all my life for. To kill people. I trained my life for that. All the way through college, through high school, through college, through the Marine Corps. That's all I trained for. And then when I got out, I got bored. I wanted to go fight somebody somewhere. There for about a year, I wanted to be a mercenary. That was dumb. And then I got a job, I don't know, working as a security contractor at the State Department. Okay, I'll sell it for that. Well, they sent me to Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Kosovo, and the Congo. I tried to find one somewhere. I mean, I'm serious about it. So this is not easy for me to talk about. And it goes against my training. It goes against my grain. But I see the truth in it. And I have to admit it. I have to face it myself. I'm no peacenik. This tells me everything I've learned was without God in this regard. The Lord, through the analogy of buying swords, he wanted disciples to fend against that which is 1,000 times more fearful than the Roman soldiers, the devil himself. Satan, and through his buying of swords, the Lord wanted disciples to protect that which is 1,000 times more precious than even their lives. That's their heart. That very night that they came to take Jesus, whole of humanity failed, as did all the disciples. Only Jesus remained alert in the spirit, even prayed before. He knew what was coming. It wasn't an afterthought, like some of these preachers say. It wasn't an afterthought, well, I might as well go ahead and do it. 365 prophecies in the Old Testament of the coming Messiah. The Jews just misinterpreted it wrong way. They saw the end as him coming on a white horse to free them in a display of bravado and swords, and that wasn't what it all was. Not at all. It's about their soul for eternity. It wasn't about that Constantine taking over Maccentius in Rome. It wasn't anything about that, or Alexander marching in, the killing. There wasn't that about that at all. The spiritual, which is really the bottom line. Even in the extremities of the great ordeal, neither words or actions did Jesus sin. The Lord had fought a victorious battle, didn't he? He accomplished the Father's eternal salvation plan for mankind. The sword of the Lord is indeed the most invincible in the world, with no equal at all. So the meekness, we've described meekness now, and humility of the Lord under the cruelty of the cross, as a lamb silent before its shearers, who expected the sword of the Lord would be mighty and powerful. With his sword, he gave Satan a fatal blow to the head, completely crushing his authorities and powers with his sword upon resurrection. He split the veil that divided God and man into two from the top down. He opened up a true and living way for sinners to tread unto the eternal life. That's what that was all about. But General Boykin, these guys that do this, they know what they're doing, though. They want to justify martial law for those they know is going to fight so they can bring about their new world order. That's what really torques my jaw, is that they know what they're doing. Now, when he says, I'm going to denounce my Knights of Malta membership and talk about Jesus Christ, now you got my attention. They're not doing that, are they? No, they're not. So they can't, and Jesus Christ was not rebellious. Mankind is rebellious against God. So they're using Jesus and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and David as being rebellious. We got to be like them, like Chuck Baldwin and that ridiculous book he's got called Romans 13. It lies. more than politicians on the pulpit. They answer to a bigger power than what they can imagine. That's in God's time. It's over my head. They answer to God. All government is ordained by God. Otherwise, you have anarchy. Can't have it both ways. And man is always sinful. Therefore, you're going to have a corrupt government virtually no matter what. I would submit to you that the only benevolent government this world has ever seen, now that you look back on it, was the King James reign. And he was the one that brought the word of God to mankind. How about those apples? I can't think of one otherwise in all of history, except the King James reign. And then I said, well, I'll be doggone. And I remember, I said, I couldn't think in all history of any benevolent king. Charles Maine, King John, they're all part of the Merovingian bloodline anyway. Satan's line. Tribe of Dan. God established human government after the flood when he decreed, whosoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. That decree gave authority to men to judge criminal matters and to punish offenders. That's where Satan works on too, by the way. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells you what you got to do. In every ordered society, there's got to be authority and submission to that authority. You want it changed. Here's where prayer, faith, and knowing the system comes in. God instituted human government. But render to Caesar, which is Caesar, but unto God, that's God's. So there's some things you're not going to do according to man that makes you want to do them, because if they go against God, that's when I will stop. Well, they've got that solved. The FEMA is training the clergy response team to use religion, doctrine, to say do everything. Well, that's not true. Now, I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow. Also, I want to let you know, we're coming to the end of the program here, and I'm going to continue on part two tomorrow. I think I need to talk about this because it's coming round. And I'll talk more about another major change coming. And I've been warning people for years about this, and now it's actually an article. Pope Francis and the emerging one world religion. Family, the Catholic Church is trying to bring all the religions in, and when they do, then they crash or re-spiritualize the Roman Catholic Church, which they are going to do. They'll move to a one world order. That'll be the New Age movement. It's not Islam. Those preachers, those politicians say Islam is New World Order, New World Religion is a lie, or they're greatly deceived. It's the New Age movement. Humanism, backed by Buddhist and Hindu, that's the enemy. Islam, Judaism, Christianity, and atheism will all be extinguished and destroyed, and the rest will be brought into the Luciferian order, which is New Age movement. It's what existed before Roman Catholicism. In 325 A.D. at the Council of Nicaea, Roman Catholicism covered over the New Age movement until recently. And now they're bringing it back out again. And that's where your ascended masters come from. That's where your re-spiritualization of the Catholic Church is going to go to. We're all one in Christ. And so forth and so on. Aliens, all this other nonsense is going to come out of the woodwork. Sananda Manuel, who looks exactly like Jesus Christ, what we think looks like. He's not. I'm going to talk about this tomorrow and get down to it again. There's just so much stuff I want to tell y'all, but You know, the Catholic charismatic renewal is the hope of the church, exclaims the Anglican Episcopal Bishop Tony Palmer. Before a group of cheering followers at the Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Ouch. Kenneth Copeland, one billionaire, is a Freemason, 33rd degree. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Part of the Hagen, Hagee, Joyce Myers, Men, We Are God's crowd. Remember we talked about government, administrators of government? That's the gods that Jesus is talking about. Not divine gods, not co-creators. It's about ministers of justice, ministers of leaders of men, or the gods, you become as gods. That's what that means. See how they twist the words? This Palmer bishop said these words from the Vatican before playing the video message from Pope Francis to Kenneth Copeland. Palmer told the crowd, when my wife saw she could be Catholic and charismatic and evangelical and Pentecostal and said it was absolutely accepted in the Catholic Church, she said that she would like to reconnect her roots with the Catholic culture. So she did. That's why they have Chrislam. Rick Warren, he is a self-professed Council of Foreign Relations member. He loves it. He professes it. He's proud of it. He's proud of being a member of the Illuminati. That is the Council of Foreign Relations. That's why he has Chrislam. For those Muslims that are being convicted in their heart about Jesus, they're coming over what they think is Christianity, and they have a trap waiting for them called Chrislam. A combination of Christianity and Islam, and both are evil. Jesus Christ is not about religion. Now you see why. He's about mankind's redemption and mankind's salvation through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary and victory when he rose from the dead, because he's alive. And boy, when he comes back, let me tell you something, it won't be no AR-15. Before he comes back, family, there's going to be, after the seven seals have already done what they've done to the mankind, seven trumpets of tribulation, of God's wrath. And God's wrath is not some silly pond of Red Pond in Kansas. It's going to be worldwide. And it's going to hammer this earth like this mankind's never seen in the history of mankind. The flood is nothing compared to what's coming. And that first trumpet, that's God's judgment on this earth. And boy, from then on, it ain't nothing but ugly. Because ugly before then, World War III will have wiped out 4 billion people. And you won't have technology after the 6th or 7th seal. There won't be any technology. So where's this massive army he's talking about coming from? Aha, snuck up on you there, didn't I? Yeah, where's this massive army going to come out of? Because you ain't going to have no massive army. After God gets done with them on the wrath of God and the first seven doggone, seven trumpets, you ain't going to have a massive army of human beings, but you're going to have a transhumanized army of 200 million supernatural. Uh-huh. What's left over? Called Nephilim. Transhumanized. There's your 200 million, because they really went through seven trumpets of tribulation. And won't be no humans left here. So where's this massive army this Boykin is talking about? Who's he going to go up against? All Jesus got to do is just give a command, it's over. Saints ain't going to sit there and fight with people like on TV. Saints will be behind him. All he's going to do is just, poof, that's it. And then begins a 1,000-year millennium at Armageddon. They got to read their Bible. Because they're lying to a lot of people. And they're all talking about God, but it's not God of the Bible. Lucifer is their God. Copeland, the rest of them. That's God's business. Family, seek Jesus. And what he says, not what man says. They're going to bring all the religions together. And the Antichrist will fulfill the requirements of the Kalki, what they call the Kalki avatar, the Krishna, Bodhisattva, Bodhisattva, the Prince of Peace, the Imam Mahdi, the Christ. One man will fulfill all of those at one time. That will be the Antichrist. He'll bring peace, remember, for a short time. That's the first seal. Israel will sign a peace covenant with him, or confirm a peace covenant with this one called Maitreya, the Antichrist, the real one. And that'll be the first seal. And Jesus will break that first seal. He's the only one that can. You got six more to go. And then when there's peace and safety, at some period of time, at first 3.5 years, Jesus will break the second seal. Family, that's the Third World War. That's the red horse. A quarter of mankind will die. 4 to 7 billion people or more are going to die in that period of time. That's the first 3.5 years of the 7 years. As a result of that will be famine, black horse, pestilence, pale horse. A fifth seal will be souls under the altar. Those who claim and stick with Jesus Christ will be beheaded. Whatever happened to them, happened to them, but they'll be with Jesus when it's over. The sixth seal is a great earthwide earthquake. Worldwide. Everything standing is down. No technology left. Moon, the sun, stars become black as sackcloth. Oh, by the way, there's no such thing as 3 days of darkness. That's not even in the Bible. That's another lie coming from some bishop or some kind of padre or whatever in the Catholic Church. 3 days of darkness is a lie. Seventh seal brings on the first trumpet, and it's all God from then on. So I don't know what Boynka's talking about. He ain't using the Bible. And they're misleading thousands of people. Well, family, we're at the end of the program here. And appreciate y'all dropping by. This is recorded. And I'll put it out as soon as I get done this afternoon. And then tonight, 8 o'clock to 10, I'm on Revelation Radio Network. And I go where the Holy Spirit leads me to talk about tonight. 8 to 10, RevelationRadioNetwork.org. And remind you that we're also played at HighPointRadio.net up there in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. HighPointRadio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. High Point Radio. His email is highpointradio@yahoo.com. We also are played out at Colorado by Blue Raven Network. KBLU Radio also plays us. Simulcast. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And visit there with the archives. And I have a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. Lots going on there. We've went from zero to 800, what they call likes or something, plus. In 1 week, we covered 17,000 people checked out as I looked at the statistics. And last week is like in 1 week period, 17,000 people visited or whatever, something like that. So we're moving around along. So I'll see you all tomorrow. Tonight, 8 to 10, RevelationRadioNetwork.org. And tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Watchman for Jesus. We'll do part 2 tomorrow. I'll talk more about this and some more of the headlines so you'll know what's going on in the background. They've got some kind of financial reset coming. I don't know when, but they got something happening. You got this fallen angels, Saint Germain, Amoria, Sananda. Something's getting ready to pop. I don't know what, but family, these are frauds. These are fallen angels. If they appear, they pay off debt and all that stuff. Get ready. And those that know, buckle up. People be celebrating if that's what happens, or almost a war riots in the cities for a week or, whatever. You know, but in any case, you'll know when disclosure happens, we're in the first seal. You know, just don't let them put fear in you. You got to be strong in the Lord and stay in there. No matter what, just hang in and stand up for Jesus. That's the bottom line. But trials and tribulations are coming, and this country is going to be judged. Well, family, now, y'all have a great evening. And know that Jesus won the cross of Calvary. Don't let him put fear in you. But the trials and tribulations are coming. Long overdue. But this is God's time. He's waiting for that last one to accept him as a Savior. He knows the end from the beginning. So y'all have faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So y'all have a good night. And God bless. And this is Watchman for Jesus, signing off.
Down on my knees, and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet peace, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
God bless, good night, and walk with the Lord. Signing off.